We just had Scott McLuhan on, and I got to tell you, I may have missed something. I know, not the first time. But I threw the question to him about how are Kyle Shanahan and Lynch assessing the situation that they know is coming with Purdy getting paid, but he's also paying a lot of high-priced guys, and what do you do there? And, you know, when we talk about Purdy, is he good enough? And just take a listen to what McLuhan said, because after I heard this, I thought, kind of, well, that takes care of that. Take a listen.
Quarterback, you identify not just game by game, but during the week of practice in the locker room. And if you have a good one, which they do, then you got to pay it. You know, and the market's the market, and that's nothing they can do about it. It's been set. And it's going to keep going up and up and up, and the cap going up and up and up. You know, it's just part of it. But,
right.
You know, if you have a leader, you have a smart guy, you have a good teammate, you got a guy that makes plays on the field in the system you run, then you got to pay it. You know, the good thing for them is the fact that they drafted well. The bad thing is they got too many good players at one time that they have to pay. You know, but that's a good problem to have, really good problem to have.
So, I guess I've been missing the boat. Again, not the first time. But when we've had our discussion, Goo, and I've listened to all the discussions about Brock Purdy and what do you pay him, and, you know, is he a $60 million quarterback, and can he make plays, and what kind of arm does he have, and does he process, da-da-da-da-da. It came down to Scott McLuhan saying, you have to decide whether to pay a guy mostly, if you have a good one, if he's smart, if he's a good teammate, if he makes plays on the field in your system, he prepares, good teammate, you gotta pay him. And to my way of thinking, when he listed those characteristics of Brock Purdy, it just kind of hit me. Well, he's right, they gotta pay him. Not just on his play, but how he's respected in that locker room and how much of a leader he is and how much he's kind of taken over this football team.
Right. It's funny. I say it and it don't resonate. And then Scott says it. I get it. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's predicated on his play, Stoney. You can't lead or they don't respect you unless you can ball first. And that's what Purdy's shown.
888-957-9570 is the number. Scott McLuhan just joined us. I want to take a listen to this Mel Kiper sound about this too high safety and what he wants.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Uh-uh. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, hey, come on. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
Tell us how you really feel, Mel.
Does it feel like the NFL's being ruined by the two high safeties?
Not to me. He just brought it to my opinion, and I thought about all those guys. But I'll say this. Maybe it's just to, you know, bring it home here. I remember Jerry Rice. I know we got into it, Stoney, stretching the D. Terrell Owens stretching the D. And for whatever reason, Ayuk and Debo, guys that I think can do some things down the field, we don't see much of it. We don't even see an attempt. Like, you know, it doesn't ruin my pleasure of watching the game, but Stoney, I love the deep passes. And I guess all of a sudden now, if you don't got Randy Moss or Justin Jefferson, there can't be a deep ball. But I just come from the school of keep the defense honest. We running everything in the playbook, regardless of who we got at wide out. So, you know, him listing off all those greats that would throw a deep. I know this, the Niners, they're kind of intermediate, but they don't stretch it.
I mean, a couple things here. Isn't what he's talking about essentially trying to, like, institute the shift the shift in baseball?
Perfect.
And then secondly, I would say, let's see if offenses react to the way defenses are playing, if they're playing too high safety. And I can't even believe I'm using the phrase too high safety.
Well, a lot of these formations, Donnie, they're going five wide. They're spreading you out. They're doing it in college. So it's almost like, what else can they do? The defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to, if you want to jump into the conversation, we brought it up early in the show that the passing numbers are way down, at least through 2 weeks in the NFL, trying to figure out if that's anything to put stock in to, or is it just the first 2 weeks, or their team's rusty because they didn't have a lot of training camp. Mel Kiper obviously playing or talking about the two deep safeties. And does that affect your viewing enjoyment? Guru and I said we hadn't really noticed that passing was down. Evan said he's been watching games, particularly the Chargers under Jim Harbaugh now, and he's obviously doing things a little different. So,
and remember, if I can, yeah. Stoney, that first Sunday night game was the Rams visiting Detroit. It felt like they were throwing the ball every down. So, yeah. You know.
Let's go to Devon in an Uber. Hey, Devon, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today, man?
Hey, doing well.
I'm calling because I'm only 34 years old, gentlemen. This may be one of the worst takes I have ever heard from Mel, man. Like, I used to play ball. I played at a decent level, practice squad for the Seahawks 2012,
okay.
Right? I'm all right. And I'm as a former running back, give us the competition. There's a lot of players that, although they appreciate the safety aspect, they miss the fear of getting killed because that's what we grew up playing. You know what I'm saying? They're already taking away, they're hidden away from the defense. I mean, what do you want to do? Just play just offense on the field only? You know, you're taking away the contact. You're taking away the gladiator, the grit and the high alert, the intensity, man. Like, you're killing us, Smalls. Like, that's how I feel. You're talking about we don't want you guys to scheme. We got Tyreek Hill running a 1.340 yard flat. We got guys in the league that are insane athletes, and you're trying to take away something to combat that. So I love you guys, and I know it's not your guys' take, and thank God, because I love you guys. Well, I've always listened to y'all. This is insane, the worst take of football.
Well, let me throw this at you just to take the other point of view. What about those people who say, you know, this game has gotten bigger, stronger, faster, these guys are in better shape and all that kind of stuff, and if we regulate the game like we did 30 years ago, the injuries are going to go up and we're not going to have as good of a product?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I would say to that, right, the injuries going up, I understand that there's a form of compromise that has to go on. This just isn't it. You know, like, we're not going to, no, this can't be it, because what, all right, we moved the safeties in, and now after that, 10 years later, hey, you can't blitz. You know, what's next? What's, hey, if that's the case, stop guards from pooling and getting a head start and crashing into guys. They're over, you know, they got 80 pounds on, 100 pounds on. Like, are we going to start doing that? Like, what's going on, man? This is, we're going to start playing basketball or something. I don't know what we're going to do, man. Like, they're trying to kill the game that I love, and that I'll tell you what, I can't walk like I should be walking, right? I've had an Achilles. This is what stopped me from staying at a...
Devin, we lost you.
So he's going to list off his injuries. Achilles was coming, it sounds like, Sonny.
Yeah, I mean,
Mel's trending, but he sounded like he meant it, Donnie, so it's not going to happen, but he got off a tape.
Yeah. 510 says it's simply because nobody plays in the preseason anymore. Well,
that's possible. The leader in the clubhouse for me.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. We'll find out more about that, you know, in the upcoming weeks.
Scott said it had only been two short sample size, too, basically.
And the one thing, too, and it'll never happen, but why don't you just go back to the old rules where you could actually hit and just go back to a 14-game schedule? The problem is you can't keep increasing the game.
Well, that's about to happen,
and not expect injuries.
Yeah, 18 is coming. The 18th game is coming.
Yeah. Greg Cosell was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and he was being asked a lot about Brock Purdy and how he'll do without McCaffrey and without Deebo Samuel, and whether or not the team will look the same, whether or not they'll call the same types of plays. Here's what Greg Cosell said about what he's expecting on Sunday from the Niners.
In terms of what they can do going forward, with what they can do with motions and formation diversity, that'll probably be limited to some degree because Samuel and McCaffrey are the two guys that really do that and give all those looks to the defense. So, again, I'm not, you know, in the meetings. I don't know how Kyle coaches it. Maybe it's possible that the players who will go in can do this stuff. In terms of the tactics of it, they probably can't do it as well because Samuel and McCaffrey, that's what they do. But I would imagine there'll be some limitations to what they can do from a motion perspective, and they're one of the highest percentage motion teams in the league, and from a formation of multiplicity perspective.
Interesting. So basically what he's saying is one of the strengths of Kyle. See, this is another... Just listening to that makes me look forward to that game, because we all heard and we all talk about how Kyle Shanahan's pre-snap motion is the best in football. Yeah. And it puts pressure on the defense and it confuses the defense. So I would say, let me get this straight. You're going to be down two of your star players. You can't use as much pre-snap motion. You're going to have Brock Purdy playing with less weapons. I mean, this has the recipe of getting a look at Brock Purdy in a way we haven't gotten to see him before.
Yeah, and it adds to the excitement. And then also there's another side of that coin, Donnie. To win this game Sunday against the Rams, is your defense has got to get fixed, especially on third down. You got to get pressure. So you got to deal with that. I talked about the chessboard, and now you're kind of taking the bishop and everything else off the board. Man, so if I'm the Rams, this is when you want to see the Niners' offense. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean,
you might not be able to do a damn thing about it, but this is when you want to see them. No, yeah. Deebo or McCaffrey?
Well, I mean, they're sitting there without
the
two best.
And IU hadn't had training camp?
I mean, in fairness to the Rams, they don't have their two wide receivers, and both these teams are banged up. Yeah. I think most people would acknowledge the Rams are more banged up than the...
They lose this, Donnie. The Rams would be 0-3.
Yep. Yeah.
Jeez.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm asking 49er fans about this specific game against the Rams. And ordinarily, I'd be looking forward to the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday like I always am, but I have to acknowledge I'm even more looking forward to this game because the 49ers are going to play this game a little shorthanded. And I want to see how they do. And I want to see how Brock Purdy does. And I want to see how Kyle Shanahan does. We all know this is a loaded roster, and we all know the rat on the table issue with Brock Purdy about is he a function of the stars he plays with and the system he's in, or is he really a hell of a quarterback? It's probably a little of both, but I think we'll get a clearer view of it on Sunday. That's why I'm really looking forward to this game. The other thing is you actually get to see this offense without McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, and at least you're playing against a team that is absolutely positively decimated by injury. So you're not going up against whoever the best defense is in the NFL.
Yeah, and yeah, I got to double back to this because you mentioned hearing it from Scott, Steiny, you kind of missed something. So do you now still feel, because it sounds like you're still excited about seeing Brock, but the implications on if we see bad Brock these three games or however many games it lasts where he's without these weapons, does that now change your viewpoint at the end of the day of what you do with that said information?
No, he says this is all based on the premise that the quarterback you're dealing with is good. And if he's good and he's a leader, you got to pay him. So I know Brock's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we'll all get a better sense of he's got more is going into the resume over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And it's in a way that hasn't gone into his resume before. So we're all going to be watching something new on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Are you guys? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Dog Trainer in Milpitas. What's up, Dog Trainer? Dog Trainer in Milpitas.
Oh, no.
Probably training the dogs, Steiny.
Yeah. DLou22 on the YouTube chat says, Steiny, why do you say the 49ers have a loaded roster? I think that's a term that most people use to describe the 49ers roster. In fact, 49er fans lead the league in talking about how good their roster is.
Yeah, it's been loaded for a while.
Yeah, I mean, conventional wisdom out here in the Bay with 49er fans is they have the best running back in football. They have the best Swiss Army knife in football. They have the best left tackle in football. They have the best defensive end in football. They have the best middle linebacker in football. They have one of the best tight ends in football. And who have I forgotten? Oh, Brandon Ayuk, only supposed to be one of the best receivers in the NFL and was paid like it. So that's why, DLou, I would say they have a loaded roster, and it's why I think most people would say they have a loaded roster. Evan gave me the stat the other yesterday, Goo. Last 3 years, no teams had more Pro Bowlers and All Pros than the Niners the last 3 years. So
there it is, right there.
That would show you it's a loaded roster.
Yeah, and that's not that vote or those accolades don't come from 49er fans. That's from abroad, and I know I've seen it, and that's why I'm a bit frustrated just for Niner fans that they can't kick the door in. But like you said, this is uncharted waters here, territory with. No Deebo, no C-Mac, a contract year for Brock Purdy, and can we call Jordan Mason a young talent, and let's see him do it, and I can't wait to see how the disbursement of the carries are given, or is it going to just be Jordan Mason to do it all day long? Like, that wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't agree with it, but if we come in here Monday and Gooey had 29 carries and nobody else touched it once or twice. Well,